Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Dakota Digest, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Nate Weck, and thanks for joining me. Here is the top news and programming of SDPB for the week ending Friday, January 29th. A bill outlining which students can use which bathrooms in South Dakota schools is past its first legislative hurdle. The House State Affairs Committee Monday approved House Bill 1008. As SDPB's Keely Boltina reports, supporters of the measure say it protects students' privacy. Opponents say the move harms students who are transgender.
State Representative Fred Deutsch is the prime sponsor of House Bill 1008. He says his bill restricts transgender students from using facilities designated for people with the opposite physical sex. Deutsch says that protects the privacy of all students.
If a transgender student needs to go to the bathroom, for example, and they're a biologic female, they could go to any bathroom they wanted to that was with biologic female students, or they could go to a bathroom that the school district said you can use through their accommodation process. For example, maybe they're allowed to use a faculty restroom, or maybe the school has a transgender restroom.
Deutsch says control rests with local schools to determine what bathroom and locker room accommodations are reasonable for transgender students. Libby Screen with the ACLU opposes the bill. She says transgender students want the same rights as everyone else.
Generally, I do think that it is really important to recognize that restrooms and locker rooms can be a place of discomfort for a lot of students and not just those that are transgender, right? And I think schools do have an obligation to all students to ensure that their facilities protect privacy. But they can do this in a way that doesn't harm these already marginalized students. So, for example, schools could ensure that they have lockable private bathroom stalls, lockable private changing and shower stalls in locker rooms, or privacy curtains that any student could use if they felt they didn't want to, you know, dress in front of others or shower in front of others.
Members of the House State Affairs Committee say schools are asking for guidance on managing restrooms and locker rooms for transgender students. Lawmakers voted 10-3 to support the legislation. House Bill 1008 moves to the full State House of Representatives.
Democratic leaders and peers say they are optimistic about the governor's proposal to expand Medicaid. They say it benefits tens of thousands of South Dakotans and can transform the Indian Health Service. SDPB's Jennifer Jones reports.
Assistant State Minority Leader Troy Heinert is a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. He says Native Americans face a lack of access to quality care through the Indian Health Service.
How do we transform what is happening at IHS? Because if you are Medicaid eligible right now and you go to an IHS facility, that is 100% federal Medicaid dollar. There's no IHS dollar, there's no state dollar. As soon as you leave that IHS facility, that becomes the half federal, half state dollar. That IHS dollar is already small. It's critically underfunded.
He says with the new FMAP rate and contracting authority that IHS would have, the Medicaid expansion plan allows hospitals access to things like e-emergency and telehealth services. Senate Majority Whip Deb Soholt says the conversation between the tribes, state government, and healthcare systems is a great step forward.
The thought that we could have that be an extension of what is their treaty obligation for Indian Health Services, that you don't have to just go back to the person that's on the reservation. I think it really speaks to assimilation within the whole state and really looking out for all of our citizens, not thinking of a separateness, if you will.
State leaders are still waiting for more information from the federal government before forming a concrete plan. That could take a few weeks. Republican leaders say there are some concerns about costs.
A state panel is endorsing education plans that focus on supporting Native American students. One of those measures funds programs that focus on incorporating Indian culture and language into standard subjects. SDPB's Keely Boltina has more.
Senate Bill 82 establishes a grant program to support three Native American achievement schools. These are public schools that already exist, and they must meet certain criteria, including a student population that's at least half Indian. The measure establishes additional priorities to select the schools and designate state dollars to tailor education to Native culture. Mateau Standing High is Indian Education Director for South Dakota. He says programs have 2 years of preparation before implementation.
The schools are still under the guise of the public school system. They'll still have to learn the math. They'll still have to learn the science. They'll still have to learn the reading in English. But there will be more of a focus on Lakota, Nakota, or Dakota language, depending on where you are in the state, to infuse in, and also aspects of culture that the schools would be looked to provide.
Standing High says the bill aims to focus education on the whole Native American child. He says some Indian students go to school under overwhelming circumstances.
If I'm in a home and I see whatever it may be, violence or something along those lines, how do I go to school the next day and learn if I'm 6 years old? You know, do I have a ride to school? You know, there's issues that really affect our children that they have no control over. So we have to make sure that they're ready to learn. It's not just sit in your seat, put your nose in the book, take this test. It's how are you today? Are you cold? Are you hungry? Is there anything we can do for you?
Members of the Senate Education Committee support establishing Native American achievement schools and providing grant money for 3 years. Senate Bill 82 goes to the full state Senate, and its funding bill moves to the Appropriations Committee with unanimous support.
A bill that requires bicyclists to stop and get off the road when being passed by a motorist in certain areas failed to clear its first hurdle in the state legislature. The bill follows legislation from last year that mandates motorists give bicyclists at least 3 feet of distance when passing on slower roads and 6 feet on faster highways. This year's House Bill 1073 requires cyclists to stop and get off the bike if they are being overtaken in a no-passing zone with a narrow shoulder. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray has the story.
Republican Representative Mike Vercio from Hill City is the prime sponsor of House Bill 1073. He says it comes from concerns of truck drivers who worry about hitting bicyclists on the tight, windy roads of the Black Hills.
This is not an anti-bicycle thing in any way. These guys are all thinking about the safety of the bicyclists.
Vercio was the only proponent who spoke in favor of the bill before the House Transportation Committee. 10 people spoke against, including Republican State Representative Fred Deutsch. Deutsch refutes claims that the measure increases safety. He describes himself as an avid cyclist.
I just want to reflect with you about the image this presents to South Dakota. Just the fact that we're having this discussion. Last night I saw on the internet, Bicycle Magazine, national magazine, called this one of the worst bills ever. And I understand there are headlines all over the world that we're discussing this here in South Dakota. That is not positive for us. And so I would just urge you to make this go away.
The committee made the bill go away by a vote of 11-0. But some members say a better solution needs to be found in no-passing zones where a bicycle cannot safely ride on the shoulder. They say the issue could be addressed with new legislation in the future.
State residents impaired by drugs or alcohol would have immunity from prosecution in some cases if they help someone in an emergency at the time. As SDPB's Gary Ellenbolt reports, the House Judiciary Committee advanced 2 bills on Wednesday that help people get medical attention when they need it.
The committee passed 2 similar bills in its latest meeting. House Bill 1078 gives limited immunity to those who are intoxicated or under the influence of drugs if they help someone who is injured or facing another medical emergency. State Representative Scott Munsterman of Brookings, who has a medical degree, says it's more important to help an impaired person than having someone afraid of being arrested.
When people make a bad choice, whether it's alcohol consumption leading to toxicity and or the companion bill, 1077, which is about drug-related overdose, there's a medical threshold that gets crossed where the priority changes, and it changes in our mind. Just like the fact that nobody in this room would hesitate to help any one of us, we need to eliminate that barrier so that priority can be actualized.
Stacy Ackerman with the South Dakota Sheriff's Association spoke in opposition to the measure. Her group questions how long the immunity from prosecution would last.
If they let them sleep it off for a while and then come morning they decide, uh-oh, this is a problem. From our law enforcement perspective, that window of opportunity to get them medical assistance has passed. The person could be deceased, or they could have other brain damage because they've been left in that state for too long. Now, from a law enforcement perspective, we're going to have to tell that victim's parents that, sorry, that person, yeah, they waited longer than they should have, but we can't charge them with anything because they've got immunity because they called and rendered assistance, albeit not at the time they should have, but they did.
Ackerman adds many sheriff's departments currently won't charge someone who looks for help while impaired. House Bill 1078 passed with all but one committee member in favor. House Bill 1077 passed on a 9-3 vote after a couple of amendments took out mention of felonies.
A measure to keep daylight savings time year-round in South Dakota died by a narrow vote on the state Senate floor. The legislation aims to end the practice of changing clocks by an hour every fall and spring. Two other states don't change their clocks. SDPB's Charles Michael Ray has the highlights from Wednesday on the topic.
South Dakota's Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels is known for injecting a bit of levity into state Senate proceedings. And the debate over keeping daylight savings time year-round was no exception.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
State Senator Scott Parsley was quick to respond.
To answer your question, does anybody really care?
Right. Thank you for playing.
Parsley went on to oppose the bill, saying he would prefer sticking to standard time all year. It's not clear if the prime sponsor of the bill, GOP State Senator Betty Olson, is a fan of the classic rock band Chicago, but it is clear she doesn't like biannual clock changing.
Well, there isn't anybody out in my neck of the woods that gets a kick out of changing their clocks twice a year and then changing them back. And you're losing track of time, you're losing track of dang near everything.
The president of the Senate, Matt Michaels, then called for the vote.
Okay, as the prerogative of the president, we shall delay this voting on the bill for an hour.
The Senate voted moments later after the laughter died out. The bill failed narrowly. The vote was 17-16 with two excused. In the state Senate, a minimum vote of 18 is required for passage. The issue could be reconsidered at a later date. For now, the status quo remains.
The Sundance Institute's annual film festival takes place in Park City, Utah this week. Among the hundreds of filmmakers in attendance are a Lakota documentary producer and a Lakota screenwriter. A visit with both examined the benefits of being part of the Sundance Institute while pursuing a career in films as a Native American. SDPB's Jim Kent has more.
Jesse Shortbull's interest in filmmaking was sparked in 2006 when he attended his first film festival in Rapid City. Shortbull spent the next few years learning everything he could about screenwriting, including a stint at the Institute of American Indian Arts in New Mexico. That resulted in his first screenplay. Originally a full-length film but produced as a short, 2013's Ishtima was the realization of a dream, says Shortbull.
And let me tell you something, there is no bigger thrill than seeing something go from a page to the big screen. Even though it was a short film, it just gives me more inspiration to do more.
Shortbull is at the Sundance Film Institute after receiving a fellowship to further develop the script for Ishtima. Shortbull says he believes in what the Institute has been doing for the past 30 years with its Indigenous Filmmakers programs.
The reason I do is because I believe that there is such a vast wealth of incredibly compelling stories throughout Indian country. And I think there definitely needs to be an authentic voice to telling those stories.
After producing her first documentary at the age of 13, Tiana LaPointe stayed on the road to filmmaking and has never looked back. Employed as a videographer, LaPointe was invited to attend the film festival to help her network for a documentary she is currently working on. Tiana LaPointe says having the opportunity to tell their own stories is critical for Indigenous people.
It's really important that we tell our own stories in a more contemporary manner instead of a more historical manner, because a lot of people look at us like we're in the past.
Bringing the truth of contemporary Native Americans to the screen, adds LaPointe, can help educate the masses to the reality of their culture.
And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Dakota Digest. If you'd like to see, hear, or view more radio news stories from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, or view more station programming, visit us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to stay connected with us on social media as well by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting on Facebook and by following our Twitter accounts. Our handles are at SODACPB, at SDPB, at SDPB News, and at SDPB Sports. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Nate Weck. Have a great weekend, everyone.